Hello, and thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my trusty partner, my sidekick, right?
Yeah, my partner, wow.
My partner in crime. Oh, my gosh, I messed that up. Well, I'm just off my game.
Yeah.
It must have been the game yesterday. Yeah. It just got me rattled, Eric. I'm sorry. Let's try this again.
My trusty sidekick,
my partner in crime, really. The best way to describe this person is my everything. It's at Eric Dalala.
That was better the second time.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was trying.
Bad weekend all around.
Yeah, exactly. We are live at Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse. Looking to make it a
farm home.
Farm home. We're in Littleton. It's off of Santa Fe.
That's right. You're struggling a little bit.
It's off Santa Fe, Eric.
Off Brewery Lane. Yeah.
We're talking about the Broncos' loss to the Raiders yesterday, 34-24, the final. We are live on the Broncos' YouTube page. We're here every Monday from 6 to 7, and this show is all about you, the fans. So leave a comment, and we'll answer it right away here on the show. Our podcast supervisor, Ben Swanson, communicates those to us. So if you got a problem with him, it's his fault.
And we've got some problems.
Yeah. Eric, after starting the season 3-0, the Broncos, a three-game skid here. And now they sit at 3-3, a quick turnaround. They got to play the Browns on Thursday night. What's going on with this team?
Yeah, I mean, it just hasn't been good enough, really, in several areas. I think, first of all, the defense has been – it was supposed to be a strength of this team. It was supposed to be – one of the best defenses in the league. You sat here a few weeks ago, Phil, and asked, is this defense as good as the Super Bowl 50 defense? They haven't played that way recently. Seven passes of more than 25 yards that the Raiders completed, five of them longer than 30 yards. To me, that's been the biggest surprise. It's been the biggest disappointment. George Payton rebuilt this secondary. Vic Fangio is a defensive guru. And yet, for whatever reason, it's not working out. And so that's been an issue. And then offensively, after protecting the ball all year, Teddy Bridgewater turned it over four times on Sunday. You're not going to win games like that. And for whatever reason, Broncos finally score on the first drive, Phil.
Yeah.
And they can't get anything else going.
Snapped a 24-game skid. It felt like, okay, the Raiders came out, scored an opening drive touchdown. The Broncos answered that, and he said, okay, this is going to be a pretty good game. But it did not turn out that way. Eric, I thought the backbreaker yesterday for the Broncos was when Teddy fumbled. It seemed like maybe they were starting to get some positive momentum there. Javonte Williams has the jump. You know, they score a field goal. They stop the Raiders. The Broncos get the ball back. If they score there, I feel like, okay, this is going to be a pretty good game. It didn't really feel like that, though. After Teddy fumble, they kind of felt like, all right, that's the game here.
Yeah, I mean, to me, earlier than that, I think
really?
The fact that Broncos down 10-7 have a chance before halftime to go score, you're going to get the ball back after the break, and instead you punt it away to the Raiders. You've held Darren Waller in check. You've, except for that one deep pass to Henry Ruggs, you've kind of settled in on defense. They go down the field. They score a touchdown. You go 3-0 to start the second half. They score another touchdown. The Broncos are not built, I think, even to come from 10, 14 points behind consistently just because they want to run the ball. They don't want to take a lot of chances. And so when you go behind by 14, 17, you know, 21, it's just not a recipe for success. And it was weird rewatching the game because you look at it and you're like, wow, they were down 3 points with a minute left in the first half with a chance to go and take the lead. And instead, you know, 5 minutes, 6 minutes of game time later, they're in far worse shape.
That was an amazing throw from Derek Carr to Kenyon Drake there right over Alexander Johnson. I mean, that's a heck of a play. Sometimes you just got to say kudos to the other side. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, where the Raiders came out right away and scored again in the second half there, it put them the Broncos behind the eight ball, and, of course, the turnovers did not help. Majority of those turnovers, the two later interceptions, Eric, felt like the Broncos just trying to make something happen. Maybe not normal plays that Teddy would be throwing if that was a tight ball game. But, yeah, four turnovers, you can't do that and try and win a lot of games that way.
Well, and if you don't want to count the interceptions, you can't count the late touchdowns either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the final stats don't reflect what that game looked like. I mean, 34-24, that seems like maybe that was actually a close game for a while. It really was not that. The final stats for Bridgewater, you know, more than 300 yards, didn't really feel that way, Eric. When that was a close game, the Raiders were dominating.
Yeah, and again, it all kind of changed there toward the end of the first half, which Broncos have had happen to them a couple of times. Against the Ravens, it felt that way, too. You were in this tight game. All of a sudden, give up a big punt return, hold them to a field goal, but still the Ravens kind of have all the momentum going into halftime. They've got to figure that out, and I think that what's maybe a small silver lining for me, Phil, is that we know the secondary's talented. If those guys can figure it out and stop giving up these huge chunk plays, we've seen the rest of the defense be pretty good. I think they can hold these teams to where the Broncos can be competitive, but as long as teams are getting 30, 40, 50-yard chunks five times a game, it's going to be hard to stay in these games.
Yeah, and heading into this one, we thought maybe, okay, Ronald Darby is back. He's probably their best just man-to-man cover guy, but it didn't look that way against the Raiders. Pat Surtain II played pretty well, I feel like, overall. But Callahan at times was getting beat. Things that we're just not accustomed to seeing with these guys, certainly through the first handful of games, including the preseason. This defense looked like it was going to be dominant. And now, for whatever reason, I mean, I guess Vic Fangio's been asked this many, many times, and he just says, we got to play better. We got to coach better. There's no real answer.
Well, I think part of it is that the defensive line and the outside linebackers are not getting the rush by themselves that you need to put a pass rush. I mean, on that Derek Carr throw to Kenyon Drake, he's got a lot of time to sit there. It's an out-and-up route. If you get there quicker, he can't make that throw. And so I think what's happening is the Broncos, to get pressure, are having to bring more exotic looks. They're having to bring blitzes. That puts your secondary in, compromising positions. And you'd hope that this is a good enough unit that they can still make things work. They can still make those plays, but they haven't been able to do that. But I do think it starts up front, where you've got to pay a little more attention to the run defense because you don't have Josie Jewell. And I know Alexander Johnson now out for the season, but they took a step back after Josie got hurt, certainly.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Shelby Harris, Mike Purcell, Draymond Jones, they have not felt like the same players that they've been. Vaughn has not gotten a ton of help from the other side. I know Malik Reed had a forced fumble in Pittsburgh, but they are not getting there consistently enough. I think that's putting a lot of unnecessary pressure on the secondary.
And you mentioned the running game. Without Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson, Josh Jacobs walks into the end zone literally untouched. Kenyon Drake, a similar situation where the holes are huge and they're just walking into the end zone. So really nothing going right for this Broncos team right now. And Eric, before the show started, we were talking. We're like, it's weird. They're 3-3. They got a chance to maybe win a game here on a short week as the Cleveland Browns pretty banged up right now. A lot of their star players are down. But for some reason, it doesn't feel like this is a 3-3 team with a chance to go to 4-3 maybe this week. I think because of that three-game skid, it feels like things are really not good right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense why people feel that way. I don't want to discount the fan reaction because you're allowed to feel how you want to feel. And I think the fact that you won three games against subpar opponents, and now you've lost, and they really haven't been very competitive losses to the good teams that you've played, the teams that are at 500 or above. So that's part of it, I think. But to me, Phil, I mean, I think some of this is because, and you were mentioning this earlier, some of this is because Broncos have not been good the last few years. And so, sometimes you come into the office in the morning, you say hello, you can tell you're already a little bit grumpy about something.
Usually grumpy.
You start stacking.
Because usually I'd like to stay grumpy so I don't have to get grumpy.
Yeah, but you start stacking. Okay, and so, maybe I...
Is that like a term?
It's
a stacking.
Yeah. Something that I might say to you, like maybe I say, like, Phil, not my favorite sweater that you're wearing. A little too bright.
Okay, see, maybe, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
When I put the green on today, I was like, you know what? This is a bright sweater. I was like, we need that today because it brightens the mood up a little bit.
Yeah, it brightened my mood up.
Yeah, but you said something about it.
Yeah, that's why it brightened my mood up. But maybe normally, like, that's not going to bother you. But because I've made a comment about your sweater every day for a week.
It stacks.
You snap.
Got it.
Because the Broncos have not been good for 5 years now, I think people look at this 3-3 record and they say,
here we go again.
Here we go again. And this is not good enough. But my point would be that they're trying to fix this. You know, I don't think it's necessarily fair to look back at the last 5 years without playoffs and say this is the exact same thing, because they went out and they traded for a quarterback. There's reports they tried to get Matt Stafford. There's reports they tried to get Aaron Rodgers. They revamped the secondary. They gave them all sorts of talent. They've tried Gary Kubiak retired, but there's been three different head coaches. There's been two GMs. It's not for a lack of trying, Phil, and you said it before. Not like people in the building want to be losing.
Nobody's trying to lose here. They're trying to make the adjustments, but for whatever reason, it hasn't quite clicked yet. And, you know, I think that's one of the things when you look around the league, you talk about the quarterback position, the tremendous amount of importance on having somebody that can win you a game when the rest of the team maybe isn't playing up to snuff there, or at the very least making a competitive game a blowout if everybody's contributing. And I think you see that around the league, and seen that with the Broncos here. The first 3 weeks, Teddy Bridgewater looked really good. You mentioned that I was talking about the defense maybe being better than the Super Bowl team. You mentioned that, right?
Yeah, I did mention
you
that.
You try to blast me a little bit with that. You try to just, you know, that's just like trying to rip.
Historical
context. I do recall you saying something like maybe Teddy Bridgewater would be in the MVP conversation.
I said if they beat Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
There's a difference there.
Okay, got it.
I will say.
But that's just the case. I mean, when Teddy plays well, they're pretty good. They can win games here. And the last couple of weeks, I mean, against the Ravens, Teddy gets knocked out of the game. They don't get good quarterback play there. They lose that one. And it looks like the Ravens are a really good football team.
Yep.
You know, the Buffalo Bills, Ravens, they're probably 1-2 right now in the AFC. And then against the Steelers, so-so game maybe, you know, nothing like really high, nothing really low there. They lose that game. And then yesterday, obviously not good enough.
Yeah, he didn't play well yesterday. And I think he told you that at the press conference. He said, I've got to point the thumb at myself. But
yeah, he said when you win, you point fingers. When you lose, you point thumbs.
Yeah. But I think with Teddy.
That's like the opposite for you.
Exactly. Right? But I think when they traded for Teddy, there was never this thought that he was going to come in and be, you know, a guy that a Patrick Mahomes where he wins it by himself. What George Payton says is we've built a good roster around Teddy that can allow him to be successful. And over the first few weeks of the season, either those guys have gotten hurt, whether it's Jerry Jeudy, Albert O, you've had offensive linemen in and out of the lineup. Cortland Sutton is, you know, he's battled injuries here. He's been able to play, but hasn't been 100% every single game. And then the rest of the guys that are healthy haven't necessarily played well. I mean, Garrett Bowles has, in my opinion, taken a step back from where he was last season. The rest of the offensive line is not what they've envisioned them being. Noah Fant had a nice game late yesterday, but I think from what his own goals that he set before the season, I think you would expect more. So, you know, I understand that there are people out there that, what I would like too is a franchise guy. George Payton would like that. It's not easy to find.
Yeah.
And they decided Teddy was a guy that with the pieces around him could win. Those pieces have to be better. John Elway told you that this week.
Yeah. He said that, you know, he thought that Teddy played pretty well here so far, but the supporting cast needs to really rise up.
Before the Raiders game, of course.
Yes, that was before the Raiders game. That was at the Ring of Fame celebration on Friday night.
It was there. Mike Shanahan.
When we see John Elway, we say, hey, we gotta catch up a little bit.
I think what made this loss tougher too, Phil, is that fans were like, it was a direct contrast between what you were used to with Mike Shanahan and what's going on now.
Yeah.
Because you honor Mike Shanahan at halftime. We did Mike Shanahan content all week on DenverBroncos.com. Plug.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Smooth.
And then you go and you see some playing errors that I don't think you would expect from a team that's, you know, coached by a guy like Mike Shanahan. And then Vic Fangio admitted after the game, he challenged a couple of plays just kind of out of the hope that they would
so there were overturned. Big plays and just felt it was worth it.
Yeah. So I think the comparison there of, hey, Mike Shanahan led us to our best, I think, did Joe Ellis say this, I believe, on Friday? The best era of Broncos football was under Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, 14 years as a head coach here, won two Super Bowls. But the thing about Mike was that they were always competitive.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of those years, it came down to the last 2 weeks, the last game, whether or not they were going to get into the playoffs. And he took some teams that maybe didn't have the talent to be in those positions and got them there. So
I think I saw a stat today. Our old friend Andrew Mason tweeted out that Vic Fangio has 7 double-digit home losses in 3 years. I think he wrote that Mike Shanahan had 4.
Yeah, they were always really good at home.
Career.
Yeah, I mean,
it helps
this
when
is,
you don't lose at home for 3 years.
Yes, and the division games are important too. I mean, you gotta, you know, you measure where you are with the rest of your division, and I think that we
it's
mentioned that
division.
Too. It's a really good division. The AFC West, one of the best in the NFL, and the fact that I mean, the Chargers lost yesterday, but the fact that we know the Chiefs are going to come back. They've stumbled a little bit, but they're coming back. The Chargers have Justin Herbert, and they look like they have all the pieces. And then you lose like the way the Broncos did to the Raiders, and you're just thinking, how are they things going to play out in the division? That kind of adds to the negative atmosphere around here. So
yeah, and I will say one thing about that, because say you win this week, you know, Cleveland is beat up. So
yep.
you can win this week.
Okay, this is getting to Bronco
sorry.
Batman.
Okay,
this is the Broncos win on a short week.
Yeah, I mean, they've got as good a chance as any team on a short week because of what's happening with
Cleveland.
I mean, Odell Beckham might not play. Baker Mayfield's got a shoulder injury. Sounds like he's going to try to play, but it's no guarantee. Kareem Hunt has been ruled out. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, one of their better defensive players, ruled out. Nick Chubb might not play. Both their starting tackles.
I think Myles Garrett's going to play.
He's going to play. But both their starting tackles are out. I mean, this offense that entered the year with a chance to be one of the best is really hurting. And so crazy things happen on Thursday Night Football. I think there's a chance you can say it. The Broncos have to play better. They can't go play like they did against the Raiders and win. But if they can click a little bit, certainly this is not a full-strength Cleveland team.
Yeah, they can definitely win this game on Thursday.
But say you win that.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got winnable home games, I think, against a pair of 2-4 teams against Washington and Philadelphia. Get to the bye at 6-4, because I think that Dallas game really tough. You're gonna face a lot of hard tests after the bye. You play the Chargers at home. You got to host the Bengals. You got to play Kansas City twice. Got to play the Raiders on the road. I mean, it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination, but I think there's value, Phil, even if you don't end up making the playoffs, in playing competitive games that mean something in late November and December.
Yeah, that's all you're asking for.
Because George Payton,
you wanna be in the mix.
There's a lot of upcoming free agents on this team. If you're George Payton, don't you want to see how does Cortland Sutton handle a game in December against the Raiders when you really need a win?
It's clutch.
How is Von Miller still playing late in the year when it matters? How is Bradley Chubb coming back from his injury? I mean, who else? Bryce Callahan? Do you want to keep him? Well, Jerry, he's not going to be a free agent.
No, but you want to see how he plays in meaningful games.
I mean, it all just gives you kind of more information, which is helpful. Whereas some people have kind of said, hey, should we fire the coaching staff? My question is just what is that going to do?
Yeah.
And if your goal is to just lose as many games as possible, that's fine. I guess I understand that perspective, but there's no Trevor Lawrence sitting out there, Phil.
Yeah.
This quarterback class is not like they normally are. And someone, you know, will rise to the top and one quarterback will go first, but I'm not sure, you know, if you're at the Bears were at 20, they went up and got their guy. You know, the Chiefs, when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, I think they were at 27. They went up to 10. If there's a guy they like, they can go up and get him, even if you finish 15th or 16th or 17th. So,
well, I don't think the Broncos are thinking like that,
no, but
certainly.
Some fans,
but some fans
are thinking,
maybe are thinking,
hey, it's time to
just scrap everything for this season, which is crazy.
I just think if you think about this, they are currently one game out of the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that in the NFL, it's just such a week-to-week league that if you beat the Browns, you're feeling better, okay? And then maybe before the bye, you win 2 of 3.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you just feel
you're 6
confident.
And 4. You figured something out. Jerry Jeudy is back on offense. Bradley Chubb's coming. I mean, there's just...
I think until that happens, though, you feel the negativity. And for me personally, I'd like to see some of the issues that we talked about corrected and see it on the field, and then you feel like, okay, they've got over this first struggle, you know?
I don't think there's anyone saying there are not issues right now. We mentioned them at the top of the show. The defense has to play better. Teddy and the offense have to be more consistent, score points. But if you can get there, like say you win this week, you're still right in it. And that's the thing, is that there's this sense almost that because they won 3 to start and then lost 3, that this team is like 0-6 or 1-5. If you get to 4-3, 5-3, you're going to be right in this.
Yeah, and there's probably still a lot of talk that's like, hey, the Giants aren't that great. Jacksonville just won its first game. Jets aren't as good. You know, they're probably thinking, okay, the Broncos beat some bad teams, but when they face a good team, they can't hold up.
Well, I think this week the Broncos themselves need this at some point, where even if you beat a banged-up Cleveland team, the guys on this team need to know, hey, we can go on the road we can beat a team that, you know,
it
is
doesn't
500
matter. Yeah.
Or that has playoff
They
hopes.
Have good players.
I mean, I think Cleveland was your pick to go to the Super Bowl.
I did think that preseason, I thought they were going to be very good. And they still, I mean, they've lost, their losses have come to really good teams,
they've lost
too.
They've lost to the Chiefs, they've lost to the Chargers, and they've lost to the Cardinals.
Part of having success in the NFL, to me, is a lot about mental toughness and being able to get over hurdles, don't let things go into a full landslide. The Broncos' three-game losing streak here have not been able to show some of that mental toughness just yet. But the whole season, 11 games still left to go. A lot of football to be played. So much still out there. Everything that the Broncos set out to accomplish this season is still in front of them. So I think let's just pump the brakes a little bit on some of the terribleness.
Well, I would be interested to know how some of the fans watching on YouTube are feeling about this scenario, because we talked about this before. Say you had beaten the Raiders yesterday, and then you went and you lost to Cleveland on a short week.
Yep.
You're still 4-3 in the other scenarios. You win this week. You're 4-3 either way. I kind of get the sense that people would feel better if you had beaten the Raiders and lost to Cleveland on the road, because you could be like, short week, blah, blah, blah. Whereas if they win this week, I think we're going to hear a lot of, well, they're banged up and
still
lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, you can always dismiss the importance. But, you know, even Vic Fangio mentioned, somebody asked him today, how important is this game just to snap this losing skid? And Vic has remained constant with this. He said all the games are just as important as all the other games, you know. So,
well, he did say, like, when you get further along in the season, they start to mean a little bit more, but yeah,
he didn't. I thought maybe some people were saying this is a must win or something like that. He didn't say anything like that. There's sort of
no, but it is based on what you see from the rest of the league, where the Raiders are at 4-2, the Steelers are now at 3-3, the Browns.
Oh, I think we can say it's a must win. Yeah, Vic didn't say that though. Do you want to get to some YouTube comments?
Of course.
Let's see. You know, we are live at Breckenridge Brewery's farm. It's still a house, but it's
still
trying to make it a
home. We need you to come out here, help make it a farm home.
Yeah, we're in Littleton. We're on Brewery Lane off of Santa Fe. If you live in the Denver metro area, come out. We're here every Monday from 6 to 7 Mountain Time. If you don't live in the area, or maybe you do live in the area, but you just want to stay cozy at home.
Yeah.
Snuggle up.
But one perk of coming out here is that you ever been to Central Park in New York?
Uh-huh.
You know how, like, when you walk through, there's those people that they draw the caricatures?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Swanson is here doing that for people
painting.
At Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse. Well, yeah, it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You got to be very
it takes
still.
Like 1 hour per person.
It's worth it, though. They are beautiful.
So you could also cut. Yeah, he made that one. Yeah. That is pretty nice.
Phil, before the show.
Yeah, tell the people. Tell the people what happened before the show.
We have, at the Neutral Zone, we have fans of all ages.
Jeez.
I would say there were some. There were some young children before the
maybe,
show.
What would you say, like 3 or 4?
I don't think that.
Maybe
yet.
4. 4 or 5.
I would have guessed 10.
They were upset about the game yesterday.
Yeah, they were like, my dad's a Broncos fan. He's not happy.
Yep.
But they saw the backdrop, Phil.
Yeah. And what did they say, Eric?
They pointed at me and they said, major weirdo.
And which I think is pretty fair, right? Let's just major weirdo.
They pointed at you and they said, dumb dumb.
Yeah.
It's
not
tough,
fair.
Tough.
Like, they don't even know. I was like, hey, you don't even know me.
I was like,
that's what
how
I said.
Did you know I call Phil that?
Okay, so Edward Wright says, do you anticipate any upcoming coaching changes? I think we kind of talked about that in the last bit there.
Yeah, I
don't think so.
I just think right now, with as close as you are to still being in the mix, it's unlikely. If you lose this week, I just don't know what to expect. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not saying it won't happen. I just think when you've lost 4 in a row, there's kind of that natural break because you have 10 days before the next game. I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so, especially if they win this week.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of confidence in the staff that they'll be able to turn this thing around. I don't think there's anything just yet here. David Scott Sandoval says, wish Johnson a speedy recovery for next season. I think we all agree with that. Alexander Johnson, I thought Eric had been playing maybe some of his best football, being used in a lot of different ways. Earlier games this season, he's up at the line of scrimmage, blitzing a lot, definitely in the mix there against the Steelers. He thought that he was going to scoop and score. You know, he was making big plays, and, you know, he was communicating the defensive calls. I thought that maybe he had just taken a step there, and then to have this what a bummer here for Alexander Johnson.
Yeah, and he's an unrestricted free agent after the year, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
And Josie Jewell is too.
Yeah.
I'd be somewhat surprised if both of those guys are back. I just think that based on the...
That's life in the NFL.
Right. And so, if you had to pick one of those two guys...
Oh, don't make me pick.
Okay.
Don't make me pick.
I think I would try to re-sign Josie.
You kind of put me on the spot here. I mean, because I know both of them I think they both like to watch. You know, they watch the show.
I'm not saying we wouldn't try to resign.
I think we want both back.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I think that Alexander Johnson is...
Your sweater is the color of your hedges. Green.
Oh, yeah. I think Alexander Johnson, though, maybe a little more versatile in terms of his athleticism. But Josie Jewell, obviously a very headsy player, makes a lot of smart plays. When you're a linebacker, that's important because if the faster you can diagnose something, the faster you can start heading in that direction. Do you know what I mean? So they both bring a little bit of something different to the table. But I do think heading into the draft last year, you know, Micah Parsons was a name that was thrown around a lot for the Broncos. They've been looking to add a dynamic weapon at that position for many, many years. Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson, they're nice starters in the NFL, but they're not game-changing. They're not like Ray Lewis on the other side, you know? So
now you're not concerned with them watching.
Well, you kind of made me say.
I forced you to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, plus you're going to want Baron Browning to get on the field. I mean, if he shows something the rest of the year,
he's
probably going to get his chance.
He had a concussion.
I just think that Josie Jewell, early in the season, made some great plays. Vic Fangio had said, hey, he's playing the best football of his career.
Yeah, he had been. I mean, both of those guys, I think, were playing pretty well.
Maybe the fact that Josie's a few weeks ahead in his rehab, I don't know how much of an impact that'll play.
I mean, they'll both probably be ready to go
for the season,
for the start of next season, so I don't think that really matters. But Spaz VFX. Is that one of your friends, Eric?
I don't know.
Okay. What do you think the Broncos need to work on to win another game? Gosh. Spaz.
And Swanson's letting them all.
Yeah, Spaz lets them. Yeah, Swanson's letting through Spaz. And yeah, what do you think? Are they going to win another game?
Yes, they're going to win another game.
I think so, too.
Let's talk about what they need to do this week.
Okay.
To win the game.
Okay. Let's hear it.
They have to stop the deep passes. I mean, you just got to figure it
out. How do you do that?
Justin Simmons, who we know is a good friend of both
He's
of ours.
He's a big friend of the show. How many stickers do you think Justin Simmons has?
A lot of stickers. All over his locker.
Yeah.
If you want a sticker, send your address to neutralzoneshow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Justin admitted he needs to play better. He had 5 interceptions last year, a career high. He's only got 1 through 6 games, and it came late in the Jets game. He's got to make a bigger impact. I think Ronald Darby, another week kind of getting his legs under him, will be good. Pat Surtain, I think, it's been as advertised, so I think sooner or later they're going to get tired of hearing about that. It's going to get fixed. So that's one thing. You also need
about Justin Simmons in particular, do you think maybe he's trying to just do a little too much? Like he's trying to just, like, he knows how good he is. He knows how capable he is. But it seems like for whatever reason, on some of these plays, he's like 1 second away from making the play, and maybe he was trying to do something instead of just staying assignment sound.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speculate too much because he hasn't said what he's feeling, hasn't talked about the pressure, but I do think when you sign a big contract, you're named a captain, you view yourself as the guy, he probably feels like, I'm taking responsibility. He did do that. He said, I'm taking responsibility for the secondary not playing well. You need him to go out and be able to play loose, play fast, not put too much pressure on himself. Because we've seen it as best.
He
can come across the field. He picked off Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, won the game. They could use some of those plays. So,
yep. Okay.
Defensively, that's where it starts. And then on offense, I mean, I think you need to. One, you can't let Myles Garrett wreck the game. So this might be another game where, especially if Garrett Bowles can't play, he didn't practice, kind of an estimated report on Monday. But you got to
explain that a little bit. Why do they put that out, Eric?
NFL rule where you've got to estimate, even when you don't practice, three practices a week, what their practice statuses are.
So Broncos did not practice on Monday.
No, and they're not really going to. They're going to do two walkthroughs on Tuesday. They're going to do a walkthrough on Wednesday. They will not have a full speed practice this week.
Yeah.
They've got to sweat in the meeting room, Vic Fangio said.
That's kind of like you back
in high school.
A little bit of sweating in the classroom.
They crank the heat up.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what public school is like.
That's true.
We grind it away.
Yeah, exactly. I had to bring my coat because they couldn't afford the heat.
Exactly. But I think, what were you talking about?
The practice report.
Practice report.
Yeah.
You got to put out three practice reports. Garrett Bowles was estimated.
So Monday you got to put one out. So even though the Broncos didn't practice, he really didn't practice.
Correct.
Yeah.
You got to stop Myles Garrett. So that might mean keeping Noah Fant in to chip again. Because I don't think, if Calvin Anderson has to play, you can't leave him alone on an island with a guy like Myles Garrett. He got drug tested because he wore a short sleeve shirt, and he just looked so jacked.
In the off season, he posts some of those box jump videos. It's kind of like what you do in the weight room.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those.
And he just stacks it like up here, Eric, and he just explodes off the ground and flies up into the air and lands on it. He might be the best athlete in all of the NFL.
Wow. Possible. I think you also need to continue to...
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Thank
what
you.
Do you want me to say?
Thank you. Be like, yes!
Yeah. Definitely could be. You got to get the running game going. I think I liked what we saw early from the Broncos. That early fourth down, maybe would have run the ball there on fourth and two on your own side of the field, but if you can do those two things, this has to be kind of a grinded out game, I think, where you can control the time of possession. Get back to how you beat the Giants. Get back to how you beat the Jaguars in the second half. I mean,
running the ball.
That's the winning formula.
Yes.
And Teddy can't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Cannot do it.
If I could just add one more thing, and we talked about this a little bit, or Vic Fangio talked about this, you got to hit on the big plays. When those present themselves, like the ones with Courtland Sutton yesterday, just off his fingertips a couple of times.
Wide open.
You got to hit those.
Courtland, I think, was maybe the most encouraging player yesterday, just because
he had a big game. It could have been even bigger.
Well, but just the fact that he was open on like three or four of those, you're like, wow, this DB knows what Courtland Sutton is doing, and he can't stop him.
Yeah.
The only issue
is a rookie DB he was going against, at least for part of the time there with the Raiders.
Well, Casey Hayward, I think he was playing against for
some of it.
Good.
But one of those big plays he had was against a rookie.
Okay. What else we got?
Okay, I think that answered Bronco Batman's question, too. He said, how do you do that? You kind of touched on it here. Christian Fry says, what's going on with both lines, offensive line and defensive line? Garrett Bowles has not been as good as he was last year. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. All across the line, I mean, we heard from Lloyd Cushenberry, they got to get better here. And Dalton Risner, I mean, all these guys, Dalton Risner has talked a lot about like wanting to be a Pro Bowl kind of player, wanting to be like an all pro kind of guy. Graham Glasgow's battled through some injuries here. Bobby Massey, are you smiling? Are you talking about the lights?
The strobe light is nice.
Well, I told him, I said, we need just solid light, but I think you went and you're like, give me the rock star lights.
Yeah, exactly. You know how
you're like, give me the rock star lights. And it just, I don't know how to turn that off.
It's okay. Bobby Massey has been playing as well.
Bobby Massey, they bring in. He's got to adjust, quickly this season. For whatever reason, they're just not playing as well as a whole. Because Bridgewater, he had pressure on his face all day long. Five sacks. I mean, he just you kind of feel for him because we even saw him limping off of the podium last night. And you're like, are you okay? Because
did you ask him that?
I heard somebody ask him that.
Oh,
yeah.
What did he say?
Yeah.
Good.
He was listed as
questionable on the practice report from the non-practice. Not questionable, limited.
Yeah. Limited?
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Questionable comes later in the week if that happens.
So you're already projecting a little there.
Well,
right?
I don't know.
Okay.
I will say the offensive line, Teddy held the ball a little bit at times. I think some of the offensive line issues have been assignments. Just kind of like communication has been an issue in the secondary. There's also been times when they try to go kind of in a tight formation where you need a tight end to block. Noah Fant was called for holding twice yesterday.
Yeah, Brandon from Iowa is wondering about that. That's perfect. You just know the questions.
Brandon, yeah. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Noah, run blocking has never been his, like, his top strength, but it's got to be a little bit better than it is right now. Two holding calls.
He's going to have to at least chip Myles Garrett a little bit.
A whiff on one block that led to a tackle for loss. I mean, the passing game obviously is important, but he's got a lot of catches, not that many yards. Ended up with 97. Some of those were kind of the cheap, what do they call them, empty calories.
Yeah.
Late in the game.
Cleanup time.
Yeah. The one catch he could have made for a touchdown.
Did not get both feet in
bounds. And it really was the first foot that was not in.
Yeah.
You got to throw that toe down.
Back.
Make that catch. I know that, you know, Noah's trying his best the same way that everyone is, but I asked Justin Simmons this, Phil, in the press conference, do your best players have to play better? And Justin said, players have to make big-time plays. Noah Fant is considered one of those core guys. He's got to make more plays. Justin, Vaughn, Teddy, Cortland.
This team has too much talent to play like the way they did against the Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one way you could put it. Injury bug is what's killing us. Key starters are out.
Well, I mean, I think that that's fair to some degree. I mean, like, Cleveland isn't going to feel bad for you this week, certainly. And they've played some teams that have had injuries. The Steelers had some guys knocked out. Jerry Jeudy is coming back soon, it sounds like. Sounds like he won't play this week probably, but I think that
short
bodes,
week. Maybe if it was a
well.
Sunday game,
yeah,
maybe.
I think it bodes well for next week against Washington.
Yeah. He's going to practice?
He's going to practice this week. He's going to run some routes full speed with a quarterback.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to be Teddy.
It'll
be interesting to see who they have to throw with. But, I mean, the season-ending injuries you've had to starters have really only been your two linebackers.
Yeah, for season-ending, yeah.
Yeah, because Bradley Chubb's coming back at some point.
Yeah, but up to this point, he's really not been playing.
Right, but hopefully
offense football.
That could be the biggest turnaround because of Jerry Jeudy had like six catches for 60-something yards in basically one drive.
He looked like how he did in the training camp.
And so when he comes back against, you know, whether it's Washington, Dallas, whoever it is, I think he can have a big impact. I think the offense could look significantly different and more productive just because of one guy. That's how good he is.
He'll open up things for the other guys.
So if you win this weekend, now you get a boost.
Yeah.
We like a good boost.
We like boosts.
Yeah.
Clark's 716. Okay. 716. Is that one of your friends?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's.
Oh, really?
That's formerly Kemet. KMH.
Oh, right. Changed his name
so.
A lot. Okay,
yeah,
he just
so.
Wants to know. He wants to know what our favorite Breckenridge Brewery beers are.
Well, we're currently drinking a Clark. Broncos Country Hoppy Pale Ale.
Yeah, he goes. How are those hoppy pale ales you got there? Eric,
good.
How many have you drank? There's
just,
a 15 packs there, so
yeah, no,
almost empty.
If you come
on your
out,
side.
If you come out and you join us, yeah, I think this is the last one. You come out and you join us at Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse in Middleton.
Brewery Lane.
I don't know if we can pass out beers or not. We'll just probably do it
can't.
And ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, yeah. We'll sneak one to you.
Yeah.
If you have ID.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. I like the juicy IPA, though.
That's nice.
That one is really nice. Sunny Day says they got their sticker today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I remember.
Thanks for
sending
supporting
one
the
out
show.
Sunny Days, yeah.
I got a couple messages on Twitter last couple of days saying thanks for the stickers. People
reached out. You don't have a sticker, I don't think. Do you?
That's what they look like.
No, I mean, just, like, on my water bottle at work, I have one. I just noticed you don't really.
I got the tattoo.
Oh, it's big on your back, right?
Yeah.
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 That's pretty nice. Yeah. How do people get a sticker if you're watching?
Just send your address to neutralzoneshow@gmail.com.
That is the only way to do it.
Do not on YouTube say, I want a sticker
want a
and
sticker.
Not leave your address.
Correct.
And definitely don't leave your address on YouTube.
Kirk Gupton also got his sticker today.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty nice. Bronco Batman, we kind of touched on this. If we were coaches, what changes would we make? We kind of touched on that a little bit. Yo Mama Llama.
It's Ben Swanson.
Yo Mama Llama. Hire Phil as head coach, Eric as OC. Clark says Eric as HC. Wow. Phil would
Thanks,
be special
Clark's.
Teams coordinator at best. I think this guy needs to come down here. Clark's
716.
Clark's has obviously been drinking some of these hoppies.
Hoppies pale ales.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil, that's a good question. Would you prefer to be an OC or a DC if you were...
HC.
Okay, that's not one of the options I gave you.
Because, you know, when you're the head coach, Eric,
it's not one of the
options. You kind of just show up and you're just like the boss.
Yeah.
That's more my scene.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like to be the boss.
Yeah. But I would say I like to be the OC, I think, a little bit. It's a little bit more of like, you know, they call Mike Shanahan the mastermind. When you're calling plays, you know, there's something where you're in it as an offensive coordinator. It's a little bit more. I feel like you're dictating things. You tend to dictate things a little bit more as the OC.
Yeah. You've already got like a pretty big head, so you probably got a good sized brain in there for plays.
It's really good brain I got. Clark's, thanks for the question there. Swanson, maybe no more of those from that guy.
Keep them coming, Swanson.
Yeah, Swanson. I don't know what he's doing. Okay, Edward Wright, what defines this team? What are they? So, good question. Do they know who they are? Are all the players committed as one? Eric, that's a good question there from Edward Wright.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the second part. Are they all committed? I think it's hard when you've lost three games in a row to good teams to kind of stay locked in, to keep the confidence. Vic Fangio said the only real cure is by playing well, and you're not going to play confident until you play well, and you're probably not going to play well unless you're confident. So it's kind of a little circle.
They call that a catch-22.
Yeah, that's why they call you the mastermind.
Yeah.
But a little bit of a tough spot to be in, but I do think that they've got enough talent. It's harder when you don't have the talent and you've got to figure it out. They have these good players. So that's part of it. I think the other aspect of it in terms of what do they do well, Vic Fangio was asked that today, and he said, that's a really good question. You know, what do you hang your hat on? I think what this team was supposed to be was a...
You're just hanging on maybe Brandon McManus. He has not missed a field goal this year.
What this team was supposed to be was a really good defensive team.
Yep.
And then on offense, you take advantage of your opportunities. You don't turn the ball over. You win a lot of games in the low 20s.
Time of possession.
But the issue has been is that the defense, which was supposed to be the core part of your identity, has not been nearly as good.
No.
And I do think it's somewhat of a switch. If they can flip that back on, cut out the big plays, and start playing well on defense, I think you'll see the wins follow because the offense will get better chances. They have one takeaway in their last three games. They can up that a little bit, get some good field position. I think you'll see a little bit of a change.
Yeah, and like we talked about, hit on some big plays of their own, you know, here or there. Momentum-changing kind of plays, Eric. I did feel like maybe the momentum was starting to change, but then Teddy had that fumble, and those kind of things cost them. Rodney Garcia says, hi, you guys. Wants to know, what's up with the linebackers getting injured?
I thought he was going to say, what's up with the lights?
The lights, these are the rock star lights for you.
Yeah. It's kind of, you put up with it because...
I put up with it because you like them.
Yeah. What's up with the linebackers in terms of injuries?
Yeah, like both pecs for both guys.
Yeah.
One pec.
Fine.
Both guys.
Yes. I think it's just a little bit...
It's the same pec.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I think it's a little bit random.
I do too.
I don't think
there's
it's like
no
a,
like weird thing.
I don't think in the weight room they're neglecting pecs.
They bench press like crazy.
You've been in there. They're like, Phil, let's get those pecs. Let's get those pecs right.
They're like, Phil, let's show the guys how to do it.
Yeah.
And then so I pushed Mike Purcell out of the way, and I said, let me show you.
Yeah. And then they were like, do you want to put weight on the bar?
Form over weight.
Exactly.
Form over weight. That's my... Oh, here's one from Steve M. Do you think the Broncos might consider Cam Newton?
No.
I don't think so. Cam Newton did come out and say that he is fully vaccinated now. He wants to get back into the game.
No.
He's currently not playing anywhere. No. I think that the Broncos have heard Vic Fangio say that they've got a lot of confidence in Teddy Bridgewater. Feels like he's the guy to help lead this team. So, no, I think that one's no. Brandon Walker says, do you think Mike Shanahan spoke to the team after the game? Iowa.
I would doubt it.
I don't think so.
At halftime, he guaranteed a win, and it didn't work out that way.
Shanahan did talk to the team on Saturday, though.
Yeah.
Tried to give him a pump-up speech, you know?
That's true.
We know how Shanahan feels about the Raiders.
We do know. I can only imagine what that was like.
He's, I mean, probably watching the game was probably pretty upset.
Yeah.
One thing we heard from Mike Shanahan this week is that he said that since he spent so long with this organization, he feels like he's part of things even as it goes on now, you know? So he was like, when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl with the Broncos, Super Bowl 50, he said, I kind of felt like I was part of that. You know, I thought that was kind of cool to hear that from Mike Shanahan.
I mean, I think a lot of guys feel like that.
Yeah.
They come back, they're around this team more so than I think a lot of other teams. Peyton Manning is at almost every game. He was there yesterday. I mean, he comes out to practice during non-COVID times when it's a little bit different.
They're going to honor Peyton Manning during the Washington game.
Yes, announced several months ago.
It was announced several months ago, but maybe if you are watching, you don't remember that from several months ago.
No, I'm
you're
just
like,
pointing out
that Mike Shanahan went in. How come Peyton Manning didn't get
That's in? Different than what Washington did this week.
Yeah, that is different. Yeah. Madam Bale, maybe? I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Okay, it's past sunset. Who's fooling with the lighting?
Ben Swanson. We don't have Roya Burton out here with us
Clark
this week.
Clark says, agreed. They said Ben Swanson is their backstage podcast coordinator. Incorrect. He's a supervisor.
He's trying out.
He's a, trying out for supervisor, yeah. Blame him for the lighting. Yeah, we're sorry.
We blame
him
for a lot of things.
We're going to get this corrected. First it was audio, and then now
we got like 12 weeks left.
We work some things out, and with other things... It's kind of like when you have a house, Eric, you fix one problem and it leads to another problem and it's never ending.
Yeah.
Alex Chasson says, greetings from Chihuahua, Mexico.
Nice.
Yeah. We sent a couple of stickers to Mexico, Eric.
Yep.
So, Alex, if you want a sticker, make sure you let us know. Love the show. Great chemistry. Really funny and entertaining. Do you guys send stickers to Mexico? Yes, we do.
Well. Talk about getting
NeutralZoneShow@gmail.com. And we have sent some to Mexico. So, yeah, we've sent
Australia.
Some to Russia, Germany, Australia.
Yep.
Yeah, Peru. We sent them all over the
all
world.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Texas.
Very cool. 247BK. Do you know who that person is?
No idea.
Oh, okay. Which remaining game on the schedule are you guys most excited for? Trying to decide which game I should buy tickets for. So maybe home game.
Most
home game. Because I would say maybe the Dallas game is something we're excited for, but that's, of course, on the road.
I'm excited for that Chargers game right after the bye.
You want to see
it? I want to see Justin Herbert in person again. I mean, he impressive,
he's a fun player to
impressive
watch.
Quarterback. I think that's a game that the Broncos are going to look at as one they need to win. It's going to be a tough task, and I think if they do win, it's probably going to be a really close game. Of course, we know what happened here last year against the Chargers, 31-30, 21-point comeback.
Yeah.
So to me, that looks like it's going to be a fun game.
I would say seeing the Brandon Staley go against Vic Fangio, too. That's kind
element.
Of the mentor and the mentee battling, you know, and obviously Staley has been really tremendous the start of his head coaching career with the Chargers, so that's exciting there. We're out of YouTube commenters.
Wow.
Swanson?
He's taking a break over there.
Yeah.
Asleep.
Stop drinking. Okay. We got an email before the game, the show started. This is from Dave in Kansas.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Okay, he says, another disappointing and sluggish start after getting an opening drive touchdown against the Raiders. He says this is a coaching problem. What do you think? They started well, but he says getting players ready is on coaching, and these guys look half asleep out there, way too many big plays, missed out on a few that they should have had on offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to it. I mean, Vic Fangio has said they have to coach better. I think some of that is motivation. Some of that is play calling. But then it's also execution from players. I mean, they had a couple plays called back because of holding penalties. Teddy can't hit on the deep ball. You know, several other kind of critical mistakes.
I think that I liked what Vic Fangio said last week about slow starts because it was a problem against the Steelers. He said, sometimes you look at a score and you're just like, this is a slow start, you know, and you just kind of generalize it like that. But really, it's just a couple things here or there where maybe it's one guy one week and the next week it's a different person and maybe it's a different issue from week to week. And it just happens to be at the beginning of the game. And then it's easy to say, oh, this is a slow start. You know, and really, there's more going on there than just simply saying it's a slow start.
Yeah.
I like that explanation. It was because you tend to just say, oh, this is a problem, blah, blah, blah. But that's not really necessarily the case.
Yeah, and I mean, think about if it's third down when Derek Carr throws that pass to Henry Ruggs. It's third down when Ben Roethlisberger throws a pass to Deontay Johnson. Can't quite remember what down it was when Lamar throws to Marquise Brown. But, you know, if Kyle Fuller knocks it away against Pittsburgh, if Ronald Darby knocks it away or Justin Simmons gets there a step earlier against the Raiders, you're off the field. You forced a punt to start the game, you're in good position, and then if you still go down and score, now you got a lead. So, yeah, it's tough, especially after yesterday, to criticize the start because they did go down and score on their first drive. It just they couldn't keep it going.
Yeah, yeah. We got about 10 minutes left here in this show. Thank everybody who's watching at home on YouTube, putting up with the lights. We appreciate you doing that. If you got a couple more comments, we got 10 minutes here to answer them. So keep the comments coming here on YouTube. We're here every Monday from 6 to 7 Mountain Time here at Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse.
Trying to make it a farm home.
247BK.
Different commenter.
I'm about to get a new golden retriever puppy.
Oh my God.
Eric, you know about that, right?
You got one of those. You have one too, right?
Not a golden retriever.
But your dog is out here at Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse in Middleton.
Yeah, my wife came out. Our new baby boy came out. And also our firstborn, our dog. He is a cockapoo.
It's good cockapoo. Support.
You know who has a cockapoo?
Who?
Dalton Reisner. Yeah. And then I also think Corlin Sutton kind of has he's kind of like looks like a cockapoo. So,
got it.
Oh, Ben Swanson is informing me that it's just a Cocker Spaniel. But I think it might have some poodle in there. I'm not sure. Corlin will have to let us know. He wants to name him after a Broncos player. Sorry, 247BK wants to know. What player should he name?
She.
Yeah.
You don't really know.
I don't really know. Wants to name him after a Broncos player or coach. Any suggestions? At this rate, it might be Eric or Phil. Phil is pretty nice for a dog.
Yeah, good. F-I-L, maybe.
F-I-L. Traditional. Yeah. That's the traditional.
Yeah. Didn't Pat Bowlen have a dog named Champ?
Yes.
I like the name Champ because it's kind
Champ
of
Champ is a great dog.
Yeah.
Name. Yeah. Who else? I mean, do you got a current player, maybe?
Current player.
Yeah, who would you name? Like,
I think there's something kind of like nice about having a dog named Lloyd.
Yeah, like funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a funny. I like human names on dogs.
Yeah.
They're pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know who. I kind of like a vowel at the end, you know, so you can kind of go up on it a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe.
Could name your dog Miles.
Miles was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, you could name your dog Empower.
Options, yeah. Empower, friend of, sponsored dog.
Yeah. Name it Breck. Breck's a good dog name.
Brandon from Iowa says, how impressive do you think the opening drive TD was, even if the final score wasn't what we wanted, just being able to have a good game plan to start there and have some of those scripted plays ready to go and score that touchdown.
Yeah, that is encouraging, Brandon, because the scripted plays had not worked so well here really for most of the season. And so the fact that they were able to go down the field, you have that nice play to Tim Patrick. I think, is that the drive that Kendall Hinton drew the pass interference? I think
yeah.
So on that opening
yes.
drive. So you like to see them air it out. They ran play action on the very first offensive snap of the game, which
was not, that's better than the delay of game.
That's true.
That is, yep.
That is better. But
yep.
I also like kind of you kind of keep them on their heels with play action.
Because, yeah.
You know, are you going to run it? Are you going to pass it? That's a nice, nice little twist. Just got to find a way to keep it going. And again, I think if a Teddy Bridgewater pass is an inch closer to Cortland Sutton, then all of a sudden you're talking about the Broncos have touchdowns on their first two drives.
Yeah.
And so just a kind of a spot here or there that changes the nature of the game. We haven't talked about, there were no big special teams mistakes.
No. They probably,
but.
There's always a but.
They didn't do themselves a lot of favors in terms of the kickoff return game.
Yeah.
On three of the first four returns, they had the ball at like the 16, the 18, and the 17. And so you're starting almost 10 yards back from where you would get the ball with the touchback. And,
yeah.
And granted, the Raiders kicked it short of the goal line, made them return, but it's hard when you lose free yardage, essentially.
That punter was something else, huh? He boomed a couple way out of there.
Yeah.
Strong leg on him. Okay, a couple more questions here. Kirk Gupton thinks, do you think they should involve John Brown more? Speedster guy.
They had a couple. There were a few times he was out there. Not quite sure exactly how many snaps.
He was active.
He was active, yeah. And he was definitely out there a few times.
Yep.
I'm not sure if he even got a target necessarily, but I think you'll see him get more involved, presumably as the weeks go on. But Jerry Judy's going to be back soon, so that could impact it. But yeah, he's fast enough that I think some of the success you saw in the run game early might have been because the speed that John Brown has to kind of challenge.
Be that KJ Hamler type of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Horning says, hey, guys, great show as always. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Do you think our D-line is talented enough? They've been absent most games, it seems. Minimal pressure and too soft versus the run. So he's talking about Draymond Jones, Mike Purcell, Shelby Harris. Not getting it done so far.
I think there's a couple of things. One, I saw on two occasions, I think both in the first half, Mike Purcell had a chance to make a tackle for a loss, just kind of missed. So you got to make those plays. Shelby Harris, I think, would tell you he needs to play better. Draymond Jones is not necessarily known as a run stopper, but I'm sure he can add there. But the second part of it is that a lot of the times, a guy like Mike Purcell, he goes in there to eat up a couple of blocks and free up a linebacker. And so it's not just about the defensive line. It's about you don't have Josie Jewell, who is your best run-stopping linebacker. Alexander Johnson is hurt now. So part of it's on the defensive line from a run game perspective. Part of it's on that linebacking core coming up and making plays. Part of it is, you know, they're running at Malik Reed because he's a smaller outside linebacker, needs to set the edge. So that's just something you have to deal with. And then when you do bounce it outside, you need your corners to make plays. And again, we've seen Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons play close to the line against Baltimore. When you do that, you leave the secondary open a bit. And so it's all a balancing act. The Broncos have not found that balance yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can get there.
Yeah. It's like that in the league where one team has success doing something and they're just going to try and keep doing that until it gets corrected. That's kind of Vic Ferrer's question here. Have they found a weakness in our secondary?
Well, yeah, right now I think you're going to see that
teams are going to challenge them deep.
They're going to find one-on-one matchups, and until you can stop it, they're going to do it four or five times a game. Yep. And the issue is it's not just like kind of these 50-50 balls. Like both to Darby were like the first one wasn't really a 50-50 ball, but it's just one-on-one coverage deep. They've also had problems where with the catch and runs coming across the field where, you know, they get an extra. That's what happened with Chase Claypool.
Yep.
Against the Steelers. That's an issue, too. You got to limit these catches to 10 yards or 15 yards. They can't become 25, 30, 35, because then you're giving them essentially three first downs. Yeah,
yeah.
It's too easy.
247BK says, since we're talking playoffs, who do you guys got in the current MLB playoffs? Eric, I know you're a pretty big baseball fan.
Big baseball fan. I think the Durham Bulls are...
I'm not sure if they're in this one.
They're not in it?
No. The Braves have won the first two games in walk-off fashion.
Yeah, exciting.
Versus the Dodgers.
You don't want
I was going to say the Dodgers. I still might pick the Dodgers here just because they beat the best team in baseball, and they were the second best team in baseball. So,
who's the best team in baseball?
It was the Giants.
Oh.
Yeah. In the regular season, Eric. And then maybe the Sox on the other side, the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I think maybe...
You like that?
I'm going to say, even though the Dodgers are down 0-2, I'm going to say
I could not you what the score of the ALCS, or what the series score is of the ALCS.
I think it's 2-1 Sox. I don't know, Swanson, Swanson also a big baseball fan. he's checking on that here.
Yeah. I will just say, tough for the Giants to win that many games and then not even win a single playoff series.
That's how baseball is.
It's kind of like a failure of a season.
I would not say that, but
it's like if you.
I don't think they were supposed to be that good.
If you went 14,
they played really well,
and then you lost in the divisional round in your first game, or say like the Broncos in 2012. That's a tough loss.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So Giants winning the most games, then losing immediately.
I don't remember that.
Failure of a season.
Oh, here we go. The Red Sox tied 1-1 with the Rays. Red Sox tied. Oh, I'm sorry, with the Astros. Oh, my gosh, the Rays was the last year. Yeah, sorry.
Big base.
Sorry. Okay. That was
your sweater is kind of the color
I knew
of
the Astros.
The Astros field.
I think that's the old Astros field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice tribute.
Although the Red Sox are up 6-0 tonight. Right now, as
live.
We speak.
This is good because last week
we were recording this podcast.
As John Gruden was.
We're getting live updates here.
Yeah.
John Gruden.
As that was all going on.
And the last thing I want to mention here is before we wrap up the show, we did get a comment from Aaron on Twitter. We kind of touched on that at the beginning of the show. He did mention that some fans might want the Broncos to get in a DeLorean with a flux capacitor so we could go into the future.
Yeah, I mean,
good comment. That was strong.
Good comment. Yeah. I do understand the frustration. You know, you want this to be fixed. You want to see the Broncos in the playoffs. You want to see the Broncos win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time. They're trying to figure this out. They've got to figure it out at the quarterback position. First and foremost, I think, and decide, is Teddy that guy? Is it somebody else? Are you going to go after somebody via trade? Do you believe in one of these young draftable quarterbacks? I mean, those are all things to sort of figure out. It's not an overnight process. Even once you draft somebody,
it takes time.
It takes time. So you got to be patient. I know it's frustrating, but you got to hang in there.
Well, it starts 1 week at a time, Eric, and the next one up for the Broncos, the Cleveland Browns on Thursday Night Football. We'll have another podcast before that breaking down this Browns matchup. It's a quick week, but you know what? We don't take any time off, and we'll be right back with another episode of The Neutral Zone.
That's right. We got to get you ready.
No days off.
No.
No days off. This has been a lot of fun here. Every Monday night from 6 to 7 Mountain Time, we are live here at Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse in Littleton.
Trying to make it a farm home.
It's off of Brewery Lane and Santa Fe.
Yep.
So come on out if you live in the Denver metro area. If you don't, we're live on YouTube, and we thank you all for your comments here tonight. It's always a fun discussion. Even after the Broncos lose, it's still a lively discussion, so we appreciate all of that. We'll be back a little bit later on this week, like I mentioned, to break down the Browns game. Until then, for Eric Dalala, I'm Phil Milani, and you've been listening to
The Neutral Zone.